Welcome to Nationals 101, a podcast by Nationals fans for Nationals fans. I'm Susan.
I'm Frank.
And we are in the playoffs, which start basically,
they start in kind of now. 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. That is so awesome. We have the best record in the NL East.
Well, you're just burning through all of our show topics.
Oh, okay. That's back up. Sorry. I'm excited. This is wonderful. This is great. Yay.
Welcome to Nationals 101. Where all season we've been hopefully gearing you up for this moment. We didn't realize it was going to be this moment when
we started back in,
I don't know, when did we start? April? Not April. Maybe
not
May?
Quite. Yeah, I guess maybe.
We were a little late in the season. Not late in the season, but not at the very beginning
of the
season.
We had like 16 episodes or something like that.
This will be episode 16, actually. Yes. So hopefully we brought you up to some of the speed on some of the baseball basics, such to the point where, while we're going to have plenty to talk about next year, we're definitely going to have to think about changing what we talk about a little.
I think we're going to have to move beyond some of the basics.
Right, and under questions for next year. But for today, celebrate Nationals fans who are listening, because this is a historic time. The Nationals have won the National League East Championship, which, don't let anybody tell you different, is a very exciting and good thing to have done. It is an achievement. It is an accomplishment for this team. And if you want to take any joy in their success, you should.
Absolutely. I'm super excited. This is really cool.
It is. It's a tough thing to do. It's something that a lot of teams don't ever do, and win their division, and it takes them very long time. The Braves in this division won it 14 years in a row, so there was
kidding.
They really did under Bobby Cox. They were a great team. They only won one World Series out of all of that, which is sort of their bugaboo, but you really can't take anything away from 14 straight National League titles, other than the NL East kind of was, had its weaker moments, which would have been broken up or bookended by Montreal almost winning in 94 if there wasn't a player strike. But that's a whole other story. Montreal being the new Washington franchise.
Gotcha.
So this is the first National League title for the franchise, which includes Montreal, and the first postseason appearance since 1933 for the Major League Washington team.
That's pretty awesome.
There were some excellent National Negro League teams in the 40s that won some World Series, the Homestead Grays. But this will actually be the first National League side championship, too, because the team was always an American League team back in the day. So this is the first time in the other league that we've won a championship. So that's kind of a nice. You could probably count on, one and a half hands the number of teams that have, or cities, not teams, but cities that have won a championship in both the American and National League.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, it would probably be New York, Chicago. Philadelphia used to have the Philadelphia Athletics way back in the day. I think they won championships. You'd have a shot with places like St. Louis, L.A.
So I don't want to go on a too big of a tangent.
Yeah, no, I just...
But I do have a question. Do teams switch between the American League and the National League often?
Not at all. No. It's pretty rare.
Okay. I know that we're doing that next year. I think it was the Texans?
Houston Astros.
The Astros are moving over, but...
Right, to balance out the league.
Right, I just... But the way that you were just saying, it made it sound like this kind of happens.
No. I'm only thinking of cities, not teams. So New York has two teams, the Yankees and the Mets, and they both won division titles and National League pennants or whatever, and American League pennants.
Yes.
Same with the
Chicago and
LA. Okay. So a lot of two-city teams. Uh-huh. Philadelphia used to be a two-city team, or at least had a team in each. I'm pretty sure the Philadelphia Athletics at the time were an American League team because they became the Oakland
Athletics.
And
then they also had the Phillies.
Right, and then they would have the Phillies who also won those types of championships. So there's a handful of, but it's not too many places that have done that. And probably even fewer the number of singular teams. Not that Washington is a singular team that's done that, but anyway, I don't actually know the answer to that. Let's not go too far down there.
Yes.
Also on Wednesday of this week during the day game, the Nationals clinched the best record in baseball with 98 wins. Two-thirds of their games won.
It's awesome. It's really cool.
98, I was reading, is like a really historic number. I think only like four or five teams in the last 15 years have won 98.
Awesome.
98 wins are better. Two off of 100, but 98 is plenty good and 18 games better than they did last year with 80 wins, and 28 wins better than 2 years ago when they had 71 wins or so.
Keep on getting better.
And so they've basically in 3 years improved almost 40 games. Two, 3 years ago, you're talking about a 60-win team, and they added 38 wins to that. Thank you, Mike Rizzo and everyone else for working your butt off. There's been a lot of retrospective articles this week talking about the team's journey from those really low points to now to articles about. I read an article today about a guy who's 99 who remembers the last time Washington was in the World Series won the World Series in 1924. And he, at the time, they said little kids could get in free with an adult. So him and his buddies used to hang out outside the stadium and ask adults to take them in. Game went 12 innings, and he didn't get to stay the whole time because he didn't tell his parents where he was. And this is, you know, 1924, so there's not even a, probably not even a payphone that he can use to call his parents. You know, certainly it was sort of he had to get home before dark or something.
Wow, that is really cool.
Yeah, so this is a special time in Washington, D.C. history and really baseball fandom. So if you are new to the team, you've picked the right year to get on board.
Absolutely.
You have got
you've seen
on the
good stuff.
This is the bandwagon, right.
This is the good stuff. And I am happy that I think I could say that I was a Nationals fan before they got really good.
Yeah.
So I'm a little happy about that.
You started beforehand. We'll give you partial credit.
I think I get most credit. I think I get 3/4 credit.
I don't know. Fans since 05, that's a tough thing to say, since 2005.
Why wasn't this?
2005 is full credit.
Well, absolutely.
I'm going to give you like 60% credit. We'll talk about extra credit later.
Yeah, okay.
You're going to get bonus credit for committing yourself to a podcast.
And going to spring training and going to the past three
you've done a
days,
lot of right. You've done a lot of extra
games
work.
With you and but you're that wanting student. To learn.
No, but you're that student at the end of the year who's like, I have a C- and I need to get my average up. What can I do? And I want to say, I'm happy to bring your average up, but because you're doing all this work, but let's not pretend you were an A student all along. Okay?
Whatever. I'm an A student.
Anyway.
Anyways, okay.
No A's for you. But yeah, they have the exact same record as the Cincinnati Reds, who are also an excellent team, but the Nats won more games against the Reds, so they get the tiebreaker.
We get the tiebreaker. Right. That is so cool.
Interestingly, the other teams in the National League, I think what we're going to talk about briefly is just who else is in the playoffs.
Yes, let's definitely do that.
And kind of go
through.
And
then the schedule and like what's coming up.
So the other teams we got to know about are the Cincinnati Reds, which we've talked about, an excellent team and probably a little bit better than they were at the beginning of the year when the Nats were beating them pretty soundly. The Giants, who the Nationals played very well against, had 94 wins. They won the West. And then you have two wild card teams, the Atlanta Braves, who also have 94 wins. So if the Braves, for some reason, had played in the West, there would have been a one-game tiebreaker between the Giants and the Braves. So even though the Braves are the wild card team, don't sleep on them. They won enough games to win a division in a lot of years. Which we all know because they've put the hurt on the Nationals this month, the couple times that they played. And then the St. Louis Cardinals, who Washington played this month as well. They did very well at home and then sort of dropped two huge, the Cardinals beat into them two out of the three times when they were in St. Louis. All five teams are excellent teams, including our very own Washington Nationals. It's a hard thing to look at and do predictions, which we'll talk about in a minute, because I really feel like the National League, and especially with the baseball playoffs, it's a very, very tight schedule.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
On the other side, the American League, you got the Yankees, who won the division over the Baltimore Orioles, who are also in the playoffs. They're going to be in the wild card later tonight. You got the Detroit Tigers, who won 88 games. Same as the St. Louis Cardinals, by the way. The St. Louis Cardinals, who had the lowest number of wins in the National League with 88, have the same number as Detroit, who won their division. Detroit's got a lot of big hitting power and some good pitching with Justin Verlander and some other people. The Texas Rangers have the wild card in the West. And the Oakland A's, who pretty much everyone figured to pick. There are two teams this year that everyone figured to pick dead last in their division of note. One's Baltimore, who got the wild card, and one's Oakland, who out of nowhere pulled another Moneyball, which we saw that movie, and won the division this year with basically a bunch of no-name guys, including people like Brad Peacock, Derek Norris, and Tom Malone, who all came from the Washington Nationals with the Gio Gonzalez trade. That's how we got Gio. We sent them some players. They sent us a couple players, including Kurt Suzuki, eventually later in the year.
Yep.
So it's kind of nice that all those trades seem to have worked out for both teams as they both
really
won their division.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So next week, we're going to be playing a team, either the Braves or the Cardinals.
Yeah, let's talk about the Braves or the Cardinals, that matchup.
Okay.
What, I don't know. What's your feeling on who? Okay. Well, I guess the first, my first question is, who do you want to win that game?
Yeah, that's a tough one that I've been going back and forth on. And a lot of people have on Twitter. We've been keeping up with each other.
Yeah.
The Braves, the Nats were 10-8 against the Braves this year, so they won most of their matches, but they lost the last three. They got swept in Atlanta,
right,
which was not cool. Mm-hmm. And then they were 4-3. They were 4-3 against the St. Louis Cardinals. They blew them out two times. They got blown out two times, and then there was a couple of close games in between. On the whole, it's tough.
It's really tough.
It's
yeah.
really
it's
tough.
It's really, really tough.
Because both teams, and I feel like this about every team in the National League. I feel like the Nationals could get into the World Series. Really, I really look at that, and they have the best record, and they've beaten all these teams, and they can do it again. And I also feel like there's a real danger that they could lose first round, and they could absolutely just get bounced.
I'm with you on that, too. Yeah.
Part of that is just that when you're, you know, it's coming to a best of five or a best of seven, and not a, you know, it's a different animal than playing all season, because your season's over after a couple of bad days. You can really, you know, get yourself caught up terribly. I think on the whole, even though the Braves kind of are tougher in a lot of ways, being that there's like they're the division team, they know the Nationals very well, they've got some really good pitchers. I think St. Louis actually has some better pitchers, and I think we might have got a little lucky with how badly we beat them the other time. So in a way, I think that with St. Louis, they're a better balance of hitting and pitching.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But I don't really, I really can't,
it's,
I can't
it is
point
really,
to anything.
Really hard.
I can't actually point to anything that says this is why one team's definitively better than the other, which is good because I think the Nationals are sort of prepared for either one of them. They've had a very tough schedule in September, and
yeah,
I think they're ready to
take
you know,
on whatever
keep playing
to them,
tough
yeah.
games. So, you know, I don't want the Braves to win, but I kind of want to watch the Nationals beat the Braves.
Do you,
I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, right?
But,
like,
but
yes,
if the Nationals are going to get bounced early, I'd prefer it to happen to St. Louis because I don't really have an objection to St. Louis.
I feel the exact same way. Where it's like I would love to see them beat the Braves, but I don't really have such an objection towards the Cardinals. So, yeah, I feel the exact same way. Now, what about the pitching lineup? So the Braves in their pitching lineup tonight for the wild card.
So the Braves are going to start with Chris Medlin,
and
who's
what,
an excellent pitcher.
Is he the first in the lineup?
He's their number one guy.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then Kyle Loesch is pitching for the Cardinals.
And
same thing. They're going to both start with the number one guy because
this
is a one game, or if you don't remember, this is a one game wild card, and if you lose, you're done. So you have to have your best guy on the mound.
Fair enough. So I guess what that means, regardless, will our number one be going against whoever's number two?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Gio Gonzalez is going to start against Tim Hudson or probably Adam Wainwright.
So I guess it's
Sunday,
a little bit good for
you. Get a bit
us.
Of a benefit,
yeah.
right? So even though you're going to be on the road for these two games, which we talked about last time, you're going to have Gio, then Jordan Zimmermann, against which who are 1 and 2 for us,
uh-huh.
going against or for
three.
The Nationals against 2 and 3.
Whoever,
then
yeah.
in game three, depending on what happens, the Nationals are going to put up their number three starter, which is going to be almost certainly Edwin Jackson or Ross Detweiler.
Okay,
that's a righty lefty thing, I think. So I think it's going to depend on who they play.
Right, that makes
You're
sense.
You're going to put Ross Detweiler in against the Braves, who are kind of left-handed heavy,
mm-hmm.
and Detweiler is a left-handed pitcher. But in game three, there's a good chance that you see Atlanta's number one pitcher again. You see Chris Medlin, because even though during the year a lot of teams go to a five-man rotation, most of them shorten up to a four-man rotation, and then even more of them will go down to a three-man rotation. Because again, if the Nats are up 2-0, or even if they're down 2-0, you might want to try and finish it off then. And in which case, you got to put your best guy out there again. And this is where, if it happens too much and you start getting into long series and your guy's pitching a lot and all of a sudden he's pitching every 3 or 4 days instead of every 5 days because he's not.
Yeah, right.
It can really get into your pitcher's head and his body, because this is part of what makes playoff baseball different, is now all the timing that you've done all year is off.
Is completely
so
off and just changed and whacked.
If you see Chris Medlin on Wednesday, he's a tough guy to face. At the same token, I don't know if I've seen Chris Medlin this year pitching on 3 days rest or 4 days rest. It would be 4 days rest because there's a day off in between.
Right.
I was talking to our buddy Dave, who was saying it probably wouldn't make too much of a difference, and he's probably right. But at the same token, you want to see Chris Medlin third in the lineup because you're hopefully already got a game or two under your belt.
Right.
And if he pitches game three, that's the only time you're going to see him because he's definitely not going to be ready to go in games four and five. He's going to need at least two games off. So you're going to see their best pitcher only once, no matter which
no matter
team
how
it
works
is.
Out. Like,
most people are picking the Braves to win that I've talked to, even if they are rooting for the Cardinals. I think that might be a bit of just fear, you know, like that fear resonating of like,
maybe.
I got to see the... Got to see the Braves again.
Maybe. I mean, I think I'm more scared of the Braves than I am the Cardinals, but...
No, the good news is we can be scared. The team's the one that has to not be scared, and they're not. I mean, you don't win 98 games, and you don't beat the Braves 10 times. Really, 11 if you count that 9-0 game that they should have
right.
won.
That's right.
I don't mean... not that they should have won it, but under a lot of circumstances, they you, know, you finish
least,
off a 9-0 game. So, I mean, they've definitely... beaten both teams, and they can beat both teams. So,
okay,
you know,
so we'll just see how it plays out.
Yeah,
all right.
Also historic this year.
Do
you want to talk about it? You have actually stronger opinions about it than I
do. I don't want to talk about it because I'm a little bitter about it.
Well, we're going to have to talk about it, so you better let your bitterness out. On Wednesday, after much hyping and ballyhoo, Teddy Roosevelt won his first president's race.
Yes, he did.
And I was there at the game for the final game of the year. I couldn't stay the whole game. I had we had a meeting after the game at like 4:30, and so I didn't get to stay and get all the awesome stuff that they threw out of the dugout and whatever. But I was there to witness history as Theodore Roosevelt came from behind with a little help from something that looked like the Philly Fanatic but wasn't. And Teddy took the win.
Teddy won.
The prompt response for the team was they had a home run and a high double off the wall, and they won 5-1. So I would like to point out that the Nationals are 1-0 in games that Teddy wins the race. But Susan has some strong feelings about this.
Well, I just have really two big things that kind of ticked me off about this.
Go for it.
Okay, so number one, it was a 1 o'clock game. And it annoyed me. It was
1 o'clock Wednesday game.
Wednesday, nonetheless, right? A 1 o'clock Wednesday game. So, like, I felt kind of jaded because it was one of those things where, like, I would have loved to have gone to the last game, number one, the last game of the season, the game that people were like, well, maybe Teddy will win. But some of us have to work. Some of us can't get time off, and some of us actually have to be responsible. And I was pissed off.
Wait a minute. Now, I want you to tell everyone I am responsible for a lot of things. And
you
I'm
are
not,
responsible
okay.
for a lot of
making
things.
It sound like I'm a derelict here, and I just...
I wasn't just saying you.
Okay.
I'm just...
Just the other
and, and there was a big crowd, you know, there, and I think that's great that you guys were able to go. But, I mean, really, you made Teddy win on a 1 o'clock game when, like, most of America is working, most of D.C. is working.
We have a very busy city, yes.
And it just kind of made me, like... You couldn't have picked a 7 o'clock, any other 7 o'clock game.
Well, I think that the reason that they didn't do it. Did you have a second point, or was it just the 1 o'clock thing?
The second point is
then
we've
I'll
done
respond.
So well this season. I mean, great. I mean, I guess you could. How many seasons? But like
this is their eighth season.
The eighth season. I guess only one out of the eight seasons he's been good, and they've been doing so well without him winning this season that
it was a gamble.
It was a gamble. So now that he's won. And we don't win the next X amount of games, and we don't continue through the playoffs, I'm going to blame Teddy.
Okay.
And I also want to say that I am a huge fan of Teddy, and I am all about letting Teddy win. But those two things, the 1 o'clock game and the fact that we don't know what's going to happen, who if you believe in that kind of stuff,
here's
you don't
what
know.
Okay, I'm gonna give you my theory. I'm going to say, first of all, it was a very good sign that they won straight away. I'm going to... Take your points in reverse order. So with regards to the big gamble, you're absolutely right. Totally a big gamble, because if they had lost that game, that would have been the end of the gag right there. And I think so. And all indications are they're going to keep up with this Teddy winning throughout the playoffs.
I hope they do.
Well, because
but I'm still
right. Well, what they're going to do? But this is what I've done. This is hearkening back to my studies of religion and ritual sacrifice.
Oh gosh. Okay.
No, seriously. What they've done is. It was something like 535 straight times that he lost, right? Each one of those represents a ritualistic sacrifice of Teddy winning to the greater baseball gods, which we all believe in. That, you know, when you have a good thing going, you don't wash your underwear as
a
player.
Right, right.
I'm growing a playoff beard. Okay, all of these things happen.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
It's starting already.
Oh, no.
What they did was, when they let Teddy win, it was not a spurn. It was a way to tell the baseball gods, we are now cashing in. This is it. We want all of that back. We've been praising you for these so many years, and it's time. And they promptly responded with a home run and a double.
They
so
did.
The it's auspicious, I believe.
Okay.
With your regard point to the 1 o'clock game, I do agree. I think that was a bit tough on some fans to take. I think if it didn't have to be the last day of the look, there was no way that they could do it anything before the last day of the season.
I understand
and have
that.
It
yes,
really fit the theme of
I
what it was.
I do get that. Right. I do understand that, but nonetheless, it pisses
and,
me
and
off.
And a 1 o'clock game stinks too at the end of the season because it's really an opportunity for a getaway day because you don't really some of those teams don't know where they have to be the next day. You know, do you have to go play a one game playoff or something? Do you have to go to your wild card city? You don't know, so you have to build in those hours to let those things happen for some of those teams. I'm not defending them. I'm just trying
no,
to
no, no, no.
It.
And I do I'm understand much, this. Yeah. But it was one of those things where like I feel like I'd gone to so many games and I was so ready for Teddy to win and I was so excited and I just my little heart broke when I couldn't be a part of it.
I know. I felt kind of bad. I felt really excited and then I realized when I told you I realized that your hurt was
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I was hurt. I was
well the good
hurt.
News is you're gonna see Teddy I think win again.
Yeah, but now it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Now I don't. I didn't have my.
What can I say? Suck it up. Take the day off. Look, it was for the real fans.
Oh please.
Okay, we better move on. Before
we better move on before. Trouble. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But mark it down. Ritualistic sacrifice. That's what that was. We have now.
I like that explanation.
We have now called down the baseball gods and said, "Bless us."
Yes.
Speaking of Teddy, though, you are not the only person to feel. Well, no, you're the only person to feel a little not. You're not the only person to. Wow. Okay, I'm gonna start that again.
Yeah.
Speaking of Teddy, a number of organizational. I would cut this, but I'm not going to because I always cut things to make myself sound better, and I'm totally lost right now.
Try the transition again.
Okay. Speaking of Teddy, and your disgruntlement towards him winning.
Yes.
The wider baseball community doesn't like the president race. As if you would believe the national media, which this week apparently has decided to crap on everything Washington possible.
So not just the president's race, but just Washington.
Yeah, but
Nationals.
They definitely, you know, there was several articles. And those of you who follow me on Twitter know that I've sort of been keeping up with this. When there's no baseball game, I have free time. And when I have free time,
nothing gets done.
Nothing gets done, strangely. And I also respond to every stupid article written by somebody who's stupid.
and there are a lot of those.
And there are, because there's a lot of columnists who are, it's the point of columnists to sort of fan flames and get traffic to their website or to their newspaper.
Fair enough, yeah.
But there was more than one website from Philadelphia sports people, from New York sports people who are, you know, so sick about hearing about the Washington Nationals and how
well,
great
you know
they
what?
Are.
I've
and
been so sick about hearing about Philly yeah, and how great they are. And so
well, and it's
sick.
Just the baseball world turns. Yeah. It's just like, you know, yeah. When you're on top, people are going to hate you. And, you know, I think as a fan base, Washington's not that awful. I mean, they're, you know, but
no.
There was one guy who couldn't wait to talk about how he was trying to compare, you know, to root for the Nationals is to root for the insider Washington elite. And it's all and it's representative of the political problems in this country. And they rely
oh, yes.
on and their point
definitely.
Is they rely on these gimmicky things like the president's race, you know, conveniently ignoring like half the stadiums have like some sort of race, you
Hello.
Know, or whatever.
The
and it
pierogies.
All happens between.
The sausages. I love that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And it, you know what? It happens between innings, you know?
Right.
Right.
It's then not the got, wave during the
Right. Then you got, there was a couple of articles from Philadelphia that were sort of like, it's just all filed under haters gonna hate. I mean, really.
Bitter.
So that was this week, including Mike Wilbon, who is the co-host on PTI opposite Tony Kornheiser, who was quoted in this upcoming ESPN magazine, which is sort of like a celebration of Washington sports, the revival of the Redskins and the Nats. And, you know, you and I are pretty much just Nats fans. We don't
yeah.
really worry. You like the Caps, whatever. But
yeah, yeah.
But he was sort of calling Washington a terrible sports town, and it was awful. And, you know, he might have had a point, but he really went on his out of his way to, like, trash Washington and you know
not cool
and then all this week to sort of like dump on everybody who was sort of defending Washington as a sports town, which to me is like, well, you know, sports have their place in this city. They're it's a big wide city where people have to go to work, you know. That was at the I was trying to think of what they were talking about, and a lot of people in Philly were you know slamming the attendance this year, which is sort of like the last bastion of bitter fans, I think, is to is
yeah.
this sort of you know, dick waving contest, for lack of a better word. Like, mine's bigger than yours. More people come to my games than to your games. And it's like, you know what? Shut up. It's got nothing to do with anything. Baseball doesn't even make their money on attendance. So,
nope.
Suck it.
Plus, right.
But they average 30,000, the Nationals average 30,000 people a game this year after some big second half crowds showed up, which is much better.
Yeah,
it kind of put them in the upper half, but not in the top 10 or anything, but much better than anything else.
Right.
But that's been going on a lot this week. It's going to happen more. I took the bait a few times. I'm going to do my best not to. I'm probably not going to succeed very well. I'm pretty bad at just taking the bait every time somebody puts it out there. And that's about it.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about playoff dates.
Yeah, Sunday at 3.
Sunday at 3.
Monday at 4.
Away.
Yep.
So isn't there a thing at the fairgrounds?
There's a couple of things. The Citizens of Natstowns guys are going to be at the game. They're going to be watching the game at the Dogfish Head in Fairfax. If you follow Sits of Natstown, they're going to be out there. We aren't undecided about whether we're going there or we're going to host up with some of our other fans somewhere else. It's going to be a lot of networks. Duffy's Irish Pub in Northwest is a big Nats bar. They're going to have, that's the one near the 930 Club, and it's a nice little bar and very good wings. They're going to have some specials for Nats fans. It's going to be on during the end of the Redskins game. So your typical sports bar might not do it, but if you go to a place that's focusing on the Nats, that's good. And it might be a bit chilly Sunday, but outside at the fairgrounds outside of Nats Park, Masson, the television station that hosts the Nats, is going to have an outdoor viewing party of the 3 o'clock playoff game.
Yeah.
So you'll be there.
It'll be fun.
It'll be the beer festival. You can hang out with all your friends, watch the Nats.
So the game on Sunday, the first game of
game
the first
one
round
is either in Atlanta or St. Louis, pending, and
be at 3 o'clock,
3:07 or something.
Okay,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, 3 o'clock, and then they play again on Monday,
which is Columbus Day at 4 o'clock.
Okay, 4 o'clock. That's again away,
right?
So then they have a travel day on Tuesday. Then they're back
home on Wednesday.
Home here on Wednesday, and we don't know what time that game is going to
be. So the crappy thing is, there's four games that have to be played,
right?
And they're going to want to put their marquee game at 7, and the marquee game is always the Yankees, which is annoying. And since we're playing on the same game, and as Steph Nats pointed out on Twitter today, like, maybe if they put other teams in the 7 o'clock, you would have more than one marquee franchise. I tend to believe that. It's sort of that whole like, the Yankees drive the market in baseball, and if that's true, then put them on a crappier time and get
and
all
see
those,
who right, goes
and
there,
get
yeah.
all those people to watch it one of the times that nobody's watching, and promote something. You know, give a shot at promoting something a bit
that's
bigger.
Actually a really good point.
You might end up with more franchises in the bigger spotlight if you did it that way. Anyway, so they're going to get the later games, we're going to have the earlier games.
So I'm likely hoping, 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock.
Hoping for the 4 o'clock
me
game.
Too
I think that's going to be probably where we end up.
I hope
and
so.
Then games four and five would be Thursday and Friday, but there if necessary, since you can finish a five-game series in three games. So those are not official yet.
Okay.
Tickets are available on StubHub, including ours, which, yes, Wendy, we are marking up a little. So what? no, but we're still doing the cheapest ones of anyone I saw on StubHub. And the team for Game 3 released some standing room only tickets.
Wow.
So my guess is if a Game 4 or 5 becomes necessary, look, you got to get on Twitter. And you got to follow this stuff because they'll let you know, like, hey, we're going to release some more standing room only seats, which are going to probably be your cheapest option to get into the park and root on the Nats. And if you haven't got playoff tickets and you can go, you got to go. You got to find a way to go. You got to take a sick day. Your boss has to be understanding. It doesn't matter. This is
I already
special.
Put my leave in. I got it. I'm ready to go.
This is special. It's a big deal. Even though Washington looks set up for a couple of years here, you never know.
You never know.
You never know. You never know. So if I could say that one more time.
You never know?
You never know.
Got it.
So you want to go and see it while you can, and you want to root for the team while you can. That's it.
That's pretty much it. So get excited. Playoffs start on Sunday, and I'm sure we'll have another podcast in the next week or so to talk about what's going on with
Hopefully next week after after the fact. We're going to be... Maybe on Tuesday we'll try and record. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. If you'd like to get a hold of us with comments
I have a contest.
Oh.
It's going to be a guessing contest, and I want to drive up viewership and listenership.
Okay.
And it's not just a goofy contest where you give me some arcane trivia and then we read your name. I'm going to give away a prize. I'm going to give away an autographed Michael Morse baseball card. an Allen & Ginter autographed Michael Morse baseball card, authentic from the Topps Company. It comes in a special little blue frame. I will post a photo on Facebook and Twitter. In fact, I already put it on Twitter. I am going to give that away. And in order to win this, you are going to have to email me the following. As a matter of fact, why don't you give us, what's the email address for us?
The email address is nationals101@gmail.com.
Okay. Here's the contest. I want to know, over the five-game series against the Braves or Cardinals, either one, okay, how many home runs will the Nationals hit?
Okay.
As a team, not including the other team, and I have to know before 3 p.m. on Sunday. That's one you have to tell me by.
So you have to really think about how many games you think it's going to go to. And
who's going to hit them, okay. What pitchers they're facing. How many home runs will the Nationals hit in the National League Division Series over the course of the 3 to 5 games? And if you tell me, you'll win. If we have a tie, I'll do a random drawing amongst those who have won. And I will likely find something to send the other people who got the answer right. Otherwise, we're going to do closest without going over.
Okay.
No, we'll just do closest. That's not fair. We'll just do closest
okay.
Home run total.
Okay.
So that's it.
That sounds pretty cool, though.
Nationals101 on Twitter.
Yep.
Nationals101@gmail.com.
Yep.
Facebook.com/Nationals101.
Yep.
iTunes.
iTunes.
Search Nationals101. And our main site, Sits of Natstown, /Nationals101. Or you can click on Nationals101 in the border. Until then, it's playoff baseball time.
Yeah. Get excited, Nats fans.
Let's go. I'm Frank.
All right. I'm Susan.
Bye.
Bye.